Well, hi, it's Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Hourglass Bride. I am so thrilled and so excited for today's show. We have such a special guest for you. Today we are talking with Meryl Singer, and as we talk on the show about how to have that happily ever after, how do we have the tools and the techniques and the keys and the secrets to unfolding that happy life and that happy relationship? And today's guest truly is an expert in her field of relationships. Meryl is known as the relationship miracle worker, and she really helps people who are unhappy and who blame their partners. And she teaches them how to transform their relationship to bring more happiness into their lives using her amazing three-step Transform Your Relationship Experience System. And without their partner or even participating or even knowing, she's able to help them achieve the kind of life and relationship that they really desire and deserve. Her students have found the same techniques are effective in even the workplace. She is also a business relationship miracle worker. Her workshops have been titled Navigating Relationship Stress in the Workplace When Going Bonkers is Not an Option. I absolutely love that. She is a double degree educator, and she really has a unique ability to turn her relationship experience, her knowledge, and her wisdom into highly informative, inspiring, and motivating presentation. She offers real-world and virtual online and teleconference presentations in classes and courses and workshops and seminars and speeches and keynotes and coaching. She is amazing. And she has a book out, The Valentine Relationship Book, 3 Outrageous Secrets You Simply Must Know. And so I'm excited, I'm thrilled to learn all about what it takes to become a relationship miracle worker and how we really can have those relationships we truly desire and deserve in our life. So Meryl, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Nicole. I'm honored to be here, and I'm so impressed with myself after you talked.
No, you're incredible. So one of my favorite things to ask people is when you were little, like 6, 7, 8, 9, I know I wanted to be Miss America, and I wanted to be in the Olympics, and I wanted to be a movie star, and, you know, people want to be astronauts and mothers and vets, and were you always helping people? Like, were you always giving advice, or is that just part of your nature and who you are?
My mother was such she made me really pay attention to what was going on. And I don't know what I wanted to be. What I needed to do to survive was to figure out what was going on with her. So she had the ability to tease me, and she would stop as soon as I cried, but she wouldn't stop until I cried. And so I had to learn to read her face when she was being serious and when she was joking. And just that made me extraordinarily sensitive to people communication. And I think that was the beginning of it. And then,
that's
of course,
incredible.
I wanted to stop all the conflict in the world. And I thought that actually, if they picked any religion, anyone, just one, and everybody became that, and then everybody intermarried till everybody was this kind of cocoa color, then there would be no reason to have any conflict in the world. And then I grew up.
I love that, though. Oh, my gosh. I absolutely love that.
So, yeah, I saw there for a while. I thought I had the answer.
That's
but now,
so
actually, it's a matter of bringing peace to the world one relationship at a time. And I think one of the most important things to make that happen is to accept, and just believe this, accept our own imperfections and other people's imperfections. I saw a play last night, Buyer and Seller, which was hilarious. Oh, my goodness, I have to stop that in the background.
You know, I love that. We had Sidney Cressy on.
Yes.
And Sidney Cressy is one of the top, if not the singular top travel expert in the world. And I mean, if you wanted to, you know, for $25,000-$50,000 a night, you know, be flown to a private island on a yacht or whatever with the people with the gloves and the fruit flown in or whatever it is. I mean, she is the most exotic, most exclusive, most she'd travel on the planet is Sydney knows how to do that. And for months we were trying to book her on the show, and finally we had a date for her, and she called him from the America's Cup. And she was running in between speakers trying to get, you know, clear sound, and they were calling the races in the background. And I loved that she was in the middle of the America's Cup because it's who she is.
Yes.
And it was perfect.
Yes.
And the fact that you can comfortably be in your home and sharing the way that you help people.
Yeah.
And there's life in the background is just part of who you are. So I think it's perfect.
Bless you. So where was I? Oh, yes, buyer and seller. So I think this is really interesting because it's relevant. That's one of the things I do, that I have to work more on my blogging because it's going on in my head and I'm not blogging it enough. But buyer and seller was this one-man show about what's her name? Barbara Streisand's cellar, and how she has it arranged as if it were a shopping street. And I don't know if that's true, but I know the part that isn't true is that they hired somebody to be a clerk in the stores at in the cellar. And so he talked about Barbara Streisand. He talked about her need for perfection, that everything had to be just so, that everything, if it was out of place, she would move it back. And that was part of the show, was this need for perfection. And then obviously this person couldn't be perfect and therefore got fired. And nobody can be perfect. And it's not a realistic aim to have, and yet we have that aim of ourselves, and we have that, we certainly have that aim of whoever our partners are, business and personal. And it's just unrealistic. It makes us unhappy. It causes conflict, and it's problematic. So that's my one thing. My other thing that I think is really incredibly important is that people are allowed to be different, that you and I can have a conversation and you can say, well, black is my favorite color, and I can say, oh, no, I don't, you know, I'm not crazy about black at all. I like red. And we're both right, and we can still enjoy each other's conversation without having to agree on every darn thing we say. And I think people expect, in order to have a harmonious conversation, that the other person has to agree. Not true. So if we could get those two things going in the world, it would be good.
I love that. I mean, fantastic. I love that we would all inbreed until we're cocoa colored. I think that's so much fun. That's just just the idea and the concept. And so when you look at relationships, you know, and it's so funny because I had Brian Cummings on the Unlimited Life show, and he was the Los Angeles fire captain. And I said to him, when you were a little boy, did you want to be a fireman? He said, not at all. I wanted to be an astronaut. He said, the only reason I ever wanted to go in the fire station was I wanted to ride the truck with the bell. But so before you became a relationship expert, did you have happy, fruitful, joyous, blissful, euphoric relationships, or were they all snarled and that's what led you down the path?
No, they weren't snarled. A little twisted. No. I had and have. Actually, I'm very blessed. I've had wonderful relationships throughout my life, I had this wonderful relationship with my husband for about 19, 20 years until I finally said, oh, my God, what am I doing here? What happened was that I did come into the marriage with certain expectations. For instance, my husband is an artist. And so my expectation was that, okay, he's not going to be a famous artist in a minute. But after a few years, the world needs to find him. And it was 19 years and the world hadn't found him. And I got really pissed. I got very annoyed. And then at that time, I saw that he didn't dress that well, that he didn't cut his hair just so, that he made a mess in the house, and there was a whole other thing, a bunch of things that was wrong with him. And I just was at my wit's end, and I actually did call our kids together and say, you know, we're going to split. And it was my youngest son who said, are you sure? I thought that was insulting that he would question his parent. He said, have you had any therapy? Have you seen a shrink? I said, Daddy won't go. And so then Nathan looks at him, and we did end up going and doing some therapy, and that kept us together. But it didn't make me happy. And then I thought, well, wait a second. If I'm not really complaining about the marriage per se, and I'm still not happy, something screwy's going on here, and therapy wasn't doing anything for it. I realized, actually, I think I had a midlife crisis. I finally said, here I am this far along and I haven't done doo-doo. I mean, I did raise Nathan's two kids, and we did have a kid, and I raised him as well. But that didn't satisfy me. That's on a personal level. I needed to do something on a professional level. And I was just, oh, my gosh, I know if there's nobody here to lead me, if there's nobody here to tell me what to do, and I have no idea what to do, I know what to do, and that is to do something, anything different from what I've ever done before. And so I made a list of things that I hadn't managed to get to, that I wanted to do, that I was too busy here, that I was taking care of husband and kids there. And I said, well, the kids are out of the house. Nathan, I just stuck them on a shelf and said, I'll be back to you later. And I'm in the same house. And I said, my project is to make myself happy. And the first thing that I had been talking about that I never ended up doing was joining Toastmasters. And Toastmasters, by the way, is an international organization of communication and leadership. So if you want to learn how to speak in front of a group,
that's amazing. It really is. And yes, yeah. And we have many people, and we talk about Toastmasters, and it really is a very effective way for everybody. Doesn't matter if you're chief of surgery and you need to make a medical presentation or whether you need to be able to stand in front of your family and say, we're moving to Broken Bowl, Oklahoma, or whatever, because Fetty got a better job. Like, it teaches you how to say the things you want to say and be able to be in your heart and be able to share in a very powerful and effective way. So I thank you for that, for sharing that.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And that experience, well, first of all, it was something I did for myself. It was something separate I didn't invite him to any meetings. I didn't want to share that. And it gave me experience and confidence in a separate venue. And then there's so I said, okay, this is good. Well, let's look at the number two on my list. Here is the silliest thing. Number two on my list was I belong to a synagogue, a temple, and every year you fill out the form when you agree to your membership, and it says what committees would you like to be on. I always fill it out. No one ever calls me. So I said, oh, I got it. So I called up the rabbi, and I said, Rabbi, I want to be on this committee. And it was at the Havara committee. And he said, he didn't know me. You know, I wasn't an active member. So he didn't know who I was. I could have been Billy Smith for all he knew. And
but
so,
you were really following your dreams at this point. And you were really stepping into your own power and into your own oneness. And so
I pushed
love
it. Yes. And I went to that first meeting, and I became the head of the committee. Then a couple years later, I was president of the temple.
That's funny. Now, Merle, when you were doing this, had you started coaching at that point, or were you just discovering the relationship with yourself at this time?
I was just discovering. That's exactly right. And then as a part of that, people started asking me. And then I started coaching on what I called nonlinear coaching, which is sometimes you don't get there by going in a straight line. It's like my example is you turn on a light switch on the wall and the light goes on somewhere in the ceiling over there. I mean, we're used to saying I'm going to touch that light and make it go on or go off. But to push a button somewhere else and create light that you don't see the connection, of course there's a connection. But even today with remote control, there's not even a hidden wire.
That's amazing, you know, that you say that. And I'm going to sort of take you down a different track for a second just as you're sharing that. But, you know, I'm a supreme athlete. You know, I'm like one of the, you know, top athletes and dancers. And 2 years ago, my knees just buckled. And I had a huge meniscus tear. And I had like three of the best. I had a doctor that wrote the book on knees that like all the other medical doctors use. And everybody wanted to operate on my knee and, you know, whatever, the huge meniscus tear. I mean, and I was going to Vienna. And I'm like, cast, crutches, cobblestone streets, not my thing. And I'm like, no, I'll wait till I come back from Vienna, and then I'll do the surgery. And Dr. Lise Janelle, who has been a guest on our show several times, said, you know, Nicole, the knee is always a gallbladder. Do a gallbladder cleanse, and you'll be fine. I was like, what? And I did a gallbladder cleanse. My knee was perfect. I never needed the surgery. But like you're saying, you don't connect gallbladder knee. You don't connect light switch light. You just think, this is the direct route. So I love that you're saying that, because I think in all of our lives, there are so many instances we don't realize how one thing that we touch affects something so far away or in a way that we never even thought about.
Right, right. It's true. So you've got the history as how it developed in my head and my...
I love it.
My being. And I have a website that I hasn't been active, nonlinear coaching, because I'm really big on nonlinear because of everything you just said. And so the next thing was I knew, so here it is. So I made myself happy. I did these things, and what was so interesting was that I was making myself happy. I wasn't, you know, you're not even thinking about it. And then all of a sudden I came home from work and I said, hi, honey, how are you? completely forgetting how annoyed I was with him. It was just the unintended consequence of being happy was that I treated everyone in my sights with love, with caring, with being happy. And that was amazing. Because what happened was he didn't change. We know we cannot change anybody else. So he was who he was. But he was happy because I really think our partners, certainly I know men, love when their partners are happy. And when he saw me happy and when I gave him a big hug, he went out of his way to do whatever. What can I do for you? Let me go shopping. Let me do this. Let me do that. Whatever it was. So he didn't change, but our relationship changed. And that was mind-boggling. So I knew that for a while, and I didn't want to do anything about it because, you know, there's a lot of relationship coaches that have been partners and are no longer partners. And I thought, now that I found this, I don't want to mess it up. I don't mind sharing, but I don't want to ruin my relationship in order to share. So it took me a while to feel confident enough. And then I said, well, you know, how long can you wait? And I said, okay, this is the time to put this all together in a curriculum and share it. And those three steps are so darn simple. It's amazing. That's how it happened.
That's great. You know, Mara, I just want to go back to just a moment when you're talking about that you were finally happy, because I remember hearing that once about that a high maintenance woman is not furs and jewels and clothes or whatever that is, but that a high maintenance woman for a man is a woman he cannot make happy. But if she says this would make her happy and then she's not happy, or a trip would make her happy and then she's not happy, or a refrigerator would make, and that, you know, a man will leave.
Yes.
Not because he's cheating. A man will leave if he cannot make a woman happy, because they strive to make a woman happy.
I
love the fact that you figured out this formula.
Yeah. I absolutely believe that. It's So every time we had a little vacation in Sonoma where friends of ours rented a house, and so there was like several different couples in the same house. It was a beautiful house. It was a lovely vacation. But so I talked to one of the women there, and she was being angry with her spouse a lot. And let's face it, everybody who isn't you is annoying. I mean, isn't that true? I mean, we're even annoying to ourselves, but absolutely every other single person is annoying. They do this wrong, they do that wrong. So I also pointed out to her that she had asked him innumerable times to do various different things, which he did, that he helped the children clearly on his own, and that if she were angry, that maybe she could look to herself. What in herself made her angry?
Hmm.
And I only said it to her because I believe she would listen. I usually keep my mouth shut unless somebody hires me, for the simple reason that people aren't always ready to hear what will make them move forward.
Okay, so I have a question with that then. So when people are coming to you and they're hiring you to work with them, because I remember reading on your bio that you know, you kind of seamlessly work with people. You're like the little elf and the leprechaun or the fairy, and you work with them even sometimes without their partners knowing that you're working with them, and then the relationship shifts.
It does.
And
it
that to me is incredible. So talk about that, because I think that's amazing.
Well, that means, oh, my gosh. So the person I thought of is also named Nicole. And this person, she's very outgoing, very, very outgoing, fun kind of person. So just knowing her as a friend, she's very fun. But, boy, when she talked about her husband, she was having trouble at home. And she took my course. And one of the things I talk about is, first of all, you have to figure out where you are now. What's good about your situation? What's bad about your situation? And how you're seeing your partner? What your expectations are of your partner? And then what you would like it to be? And then, you know, I guess some clues on how to get there. The ways to get there are to start doing what I did, which is make yourself happy, which is to put him aside. He can't make you happy. You can't make him happy. Only ourselves can make ourselves happy. And until you're happy, you are not in a position to make a decision about whether you want to stay married or get married. I think that's what's important. So many people say, well, I'm so upset. I know that I've got to get out of here because I'm so upset. Well, that's the reason not to get out of here. That's the reason to get unupset. I mean, it's oversimplified and it sounds silly, but does it make sense?
Absolutely. I would imagine you were such a fun coach to work with. People would be laughing and be like, okay, I'm happy now. No matter what, you just made me happy.
Well, that's true, actually. And I do have my own unique approach to things, but I like it to be targeted just the same. You know, I don't want to beat around the bush. I don't want to box with the shadows. I want to get right to the point. And the point is that our mood creates the sunglasses that we wear that we see the world with. And if our mood is black, our sunglasses are black, and the world is black. But if our mood is good, then our sunglasses are that orange stuff, whatever, that actually the world comes out brighter or certainly the closest to real. So therefore, it's incumbent upon ourselves to deal with our vision. And our vision of the world is the result of how we feel and the work we've done on ourselves and the acceptance we have for ourselves and the willingness we have, the acceptance enough that we see ourselves as worthy to be happy. These are really, you know, and I think it's the part that's different is that if there's a relationship issue, then people go like a light bulb. They're going to turn on the light bulb instead of understanding that the switch is over on the wall. So they want to work on the marriage when they're not ready to work on the marriage if they're miserable. It is actually possible for all you people that are absolutely miserable in your marriage. It is actually possible that that misery is coming from somewhere other than the marriage and is being expressed through that relationship.
Wow, that's powerful information. And I think most people would never think that. It's so easy to blame anything. You know, it's easy to blame traffic for being late. It's easy to, you know, blame the margarita for a skinny water waiter. Like, it's easy to, you know, say, okay, it's that other thing that's creating this bad thing right now or whatever that is, instead of something that we did that had cause and effect.
But here's the wonderful thing about that. The wonderful thing about that is that although there is not one darn thing we can do to change somebody else, I don't care who it is, you can't change anybody else, but by goodness, you can change yourself. And if you can take that responsibility, you're no longer a victim. Yoo-hoo! You're a victor.
That's fantastic. That's wonderful. You know, many years ago, I had a friend of mine, and every man that she dated, she was incredibly jealous. He's talking to that person. He's whatever. He just looked at that. I mean, she was just a mess. And one day, she was dating somebody wonderful, and he just, like, had gone to the restroom and came back and whatever and passed somebody and touched him, and she went nuts. And she's like, and then she said, I know that's crazy. I'm so jealous. I just, you know, every time I'm so jealous. And we were with a group of people and somebody said to her, you're not jealous. There's no such thing as jealousy. You're insecure. Not jealous. You're insecure. And she said, I'm insecure. And they said, yes. And she was like, I'm insecure. And the minute she got, it was something she could change. Instead of jealousy being on the outside and it was something she could do to make a difference, she started working on herself, and now she's in this happy marriage with a little bit. I mean, it's amazing, the shift, and I'll never forget that.
That's powerful. And you know, you want to know what also is powerful about that? You said it was one sentence one person told her. So when we think that there's nothing we can say, we don't have to look for the person to agree with us. Sometimes we can just say that sentence and they actually will take it in and they'll go home, go away from you, you'll never see them again, but it will make a huge difference in their life. And that gives us the responsibility of being straight out and out there. That's how I feel.
I love that. And so you talked a bit about your three-step transform your relationship experience. And I love that there is a three-step, you know, when
well,
you think about
it. Well, it's simple.
Yes. Yes.
And it's really, it's so simple that it's ridiculous. I mean, it is. It's where are you now? Where do you want to be? Step number one, where you are now. Step number two, where do you want to be? Step number three, how do you get there? I mean, you know, that's about as simple as it can be. But it deals with expectations, and it deals with some of the feelings we have, and it allows the person to dig as deep inside themselves as they're ready to do at the moment. So you can dig down far enough to say, well, you know, when he does that, that annoys me because it makes me feel that the place isn't neat. And then, okay, that's some level. But if you want to dig further, I worry about things being neat because it's a matter of my insecurity about having to be perfect. So that's now you've gotten to a little further. And if you get that deep, then you start to notice not just this one thing, but other things that are that you're responding to with your need for perfection. And then you can deal with that, you know, every day in a little way. I'm becoming less needing to be perfect and more accepting of life as it is. And if you can say that every day, it doesn't mean that you're going to go from having really big issues to no problems at all. It means every day you get a little closer to where you want to be. And where you want to be is accepting of your life, having a goal that is reachable, and being on the path. You don't have to be from where you are to where you want to be in one big, huge leap. So having this kind of a sentence helps you say every day, you know, in just a little way, I'm losing some of my negative attribute and getting more and more of what I want, which is to be happy or fulfilled, or everybody has different words for it. But they fill in the sentence with the words that are meaningful to them. And then it's a process. And I'm telling you, in 21 days, I really can guarantee that things will change if you do that. And I don't guarantee that you'll stay in your relationship. But I guarantee that you'll be feeling better, you'll be happier, and you'll be in a better position to decide what to do about that relationship.
That's great. When you were talking about, I'm so sorry for interrupting, but when you're talking about every day and every way when you get a little bit closer, and
yeah,
every day and every whatever that is, my first thought when you said that, I was thinking about that you must be this tall to ride this ride, like at the amusement park, and that, you know, you keep going and you want to be on the big fast ride or whatever that is and have that kind of fun and that kind of joy, and but you're not yet tall enough. And then you go back and you're a little bit taller and you're a little bit taller until all of a sudden you hit the mark. And then for the rest of your life, you can ride on that ride. And that's what the first image that came to my mind when you were saying that.
I love that. May I steal that?
Absolutely.
Perfect. So, and part of, like, in part two, we're deciding what we want to be. I have them listen to a guided imagery, and I have them be in the person of a reporter going to a woman's house who is happily married and interviewing her for a story you're going to do or something, and just following her around her house and seeing her in the kitchen and noticing that he hadn't put his coffee cup in the sink or whatever, and just following her around and seeing her reaction to some things that the reporter would be annoyed at. But when your objective, when you're just the reporter and it's somebody else, you get an entirely different perspective on something that would annoy the heck out of you otherwise. And I think that's very important. The first time I saw one of my friends react to, Nathan was wearing just a T-shirt or something, whatever it was that just annoyed me. And they had a different reaction. They said, oh, yeah, so-and-so husband doesn't wear a shirt. I thought, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. having lunch with them. So it just goes to show that what is annoying to me isn't annoying to the next person. And that's really important. We have to know that it's, everybody doesn't see things the same as we do. Everybody doesn't see our partner and the other people on the committee the same way we do. Sometimes they do, however. So So work situations are a little different. We haven't gotten into that. And but I just think it's important to not feel like we know everything. That if we can be a reporter in our own life, we would see things differently if we could be open enough to it. And then it all comes back, you know, it all comes back to, oh, this is me, this is how I see it, that I can change how I see it, or I don't have to if I don't want to. I'm in control, but if I don't want to change it, then I need to be happy. And and if I'm not happy, it's my fault. What do I want to do to make myself happy? And, you know, it's just plain old problem solving. But it gives you the responsibility and it gives you the power. And then every relationship you have is better because there's nothing better than feeling powerful in your life.
That's brilliant. And when you say happy, I always love definitions, and I love to ask our guests, what does happy mean to you?
What does happy mean to me is if my default expression is smiling. That's probably it. I mean, you know, you go through life and we have a friend that really has a health issue that makes us sad. But that's it. You can be happy and sad at the same time. You can have a happy life. It doesn't mean that everything's perfect. It doesn't mean that you didn't lose your job. It doesn't mean that everybody in your life is happy, healthy, and going well. It means that you have a positive attitude, a willingness to see that, well, he's, you know, he has health issues, but he's doing okay now. That, well, I lost my job, but, you know, the economy is picking up, so I got a much better shot at getting a new job. It's an approach to life that gives you what is it? What do they say? That the more attention the more attention you put on something, the greater it expands. So if the more attention you put is on the things that are working in your life, the people that are working in your life, or the situations that are working on in your life, if you put more attention on the positive stuff, your chance, I would call you happy.
That's so fantastic. It's so cute. My nephew is 14, and my mom was trying to teach him about the half-full glass. And she was talking about positive and happy, and so she was talking about the half-full glass compared to the half-empty glass, and, right. You know, when you see positive in life. And he said, but Granny, what happens if the glass is empty? It's like just a typical 14-year-old boy. It's like,
duh, fill it up.
Fill it with joy and happiness. And
that is so funny.
So, and one of, you know, my favorite expressions somebody had shared with me once was they were talking about the Grand Canyon. And they said some people see a great big hole and other people see one of the wonders of the world.
Right. That's true.
And so
and
it's what we fill that with, right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, there was a super moon the other night. Did you see that big, huge super moon?
Yes.
I'm a moon person.
Me too.
And it was probably last week already. It was just looking we were all eating. I was in Sonoma. We were all eating around, and the window was directed such that I saw this huge moon. It was awesome. Why do people marry people? I know one of the characteristics I have, I know, is like my mother-in-law, who's since passed, but she was still of the old school where women are kind of cute and ditzy, but she would go, "Oh, Nady, look how pretty look how pretty anything is. Look how pretty the building is. Look at the pretty moon." Look, she was like a perennial tourist, and that's a fabulous quality. If you can pay attention to your environment and see what's pretty in it, I mean, that's a lift. Why do they tell people to spend some time every week, if not every day, in nature? It can be the mountains. It can be the desert. It can be the beach, the shore. But it's really important to spend some time in nature. I don't know what it is about our human makeup, but I know that that's important. And I know it's important to pay attention, to see. When we go on, I do walks. I have friends that I walk with, and we see deer. And we saw, how's this? This is so cool. We saw these big turtles that come all the way up the hill from the water, and they dig with their back feet. They dig a hole in the ground, and drop their eggs in, and then they pat their egg, pat the ground on top. That is, I know, I'm not sure you expected to hear this, but
I love that. I mean, I love that. It's the simple things and the beautiful moments and the things that bring us joy, and I love that you help people discover within themselves.
Yes.
What is happy? And I love that you can do that, so effortlessly and so beautifully and with such humor and such fun in the self-discovery. And so I just think it's brilliant. And I would love, for people to know how to work with you. Do you have a website they can go to, or should they call you, or how does somebody coach with you?
Okay. RelationshipMiracleWorker.com. is my website. You can reach me at info@relationshipmiracleworker.com. And everything isn't clear on the website, but if you send to me, I will give you all the information about coaching and anything else you want to know. And in fact, Nicole, it certainly makes sense for your listeners. I absolutely will give a 15-minute, and a lot gets done in 15 minutes, a 15-minute conversation, interview, whatever, for free, just for anybody that says Nicole Brandon.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I mean, that's a generous offer. And for anybody out there, just listening to the show, how much fun that 15 minutes would be and how enlightening it would be and inspiring for someone to take a step into the very next place and space in their life. And I think that's what it is. It's just like when you said, okay, so, counseling didn't work, and so there was something in me that needed to shift and needed to change. And I had this list, from my nose to my toes or whatever, of things in life that I hadn't gotten to yet because I was busy taking care of my husband and my child and his children. And now what is it that I want to do now that I have the opportunity? I love you were brave enough to go to the rabbi and say, hello, this is who I am, and I've always wanted to be on this committee, and I love that you ended up becoming head of the organization. And so all of these things, and being brave and courageous enough to say, I can be happy. Children, pick their arms up and they say, uppy, they want to be picked up, or they reach for a cookie. There is no cookie scenario when they're reaching for a cookie. It's just they see the cookie and they reach for it. They just want to be picked up. And somewhere along the line, we stop that desire to say, this is what I want.
This
is something sweet, and just to reach for that something sweet. And we almost forget that there are sweets in life, and that there are, that, you know, people that can love us that way, just with open arms, and that we have all of these joys, like you're saying, the deer and you know, the beautiful building or the flowers or all these things that surround us that are just so luscious and gorgeous and outrageous in life that present themselves to us. And I love even more that as you shifted, your husband shifted into wanting to make you happy, because he saw that there is something in you, this light and this joy and this effervescence, and he wanted to hitch himself to that wagon. And I think that's what we all aspire to in relationships and hope for in relationships.
And wait, you said one thing. Oh, to find people that love you in your life. I think if you don't have people that love you in your life, you have to look to yourself. Because to have people love you in your life, you have to, you can't say, oh, I'm afraid. You have to start loving other people one at a time, however you do it, tiny little steps. But you have to make the step forward. You can't wait for somebody to come to you to say, okay, I'm going to love you. You have to get, it's an active act. It's not a condition. It's an activity to love.
That's fun. But loving is an activity. I'm now going to put that on my list along with my workouts and my stuff, today's activities.
Well, it's an action,
love.
I should say. It's better. But I think people think it's a condition, or it's like the atmosphere. It's not. It's something you do. You make it happen. And that's, of course, that's what... Are you laughing?
I am. I love that analogy. Love is not like the atmosphere.
One of the things, I don't just want to inspire people. I like to get them to move, you know, to take action. And everything I'm saying is something that somebody can do. I'm happy to, info@relationshipmiracleworker.com, I'm happy to help. I'm happy to say a word or something or some thing, but ultimately it's not what I say or anyone else says. It's what you do.
Mm.
And a lot of us are waiting, well, as soon as I got it down right, I'm certainly guilty of that. As soon as I have this done right, as soon as I figured it out right, as soon as the speech is correctly, you know, prepared, well, yes. You have to be as perfect as you can be, but more important to do. I keep saying these things so I hear them.
I love that. And then we only have a couple minutes left, so I just want to quickly touch on your book, the Valentine Relationship Book, your 3 outrageous secrets you simply must know. And
yes.
So I love the title of the book, by the way, and especially since this is a relationship show, and so we have people listening here from all different stages of the relationships, and I know this is a book that can help people, whether they're just starting the journey into their love or whether they've been married, you know, 50 years. And so how does somebody find your book? Because I'm sure it's brilliant.
Go on Amazon.com. That would be the easiest thing. Or Create Space. But Amazon.com, and do Merle Singer, The Valentine Relationship Book. I started it out as The Valentine Relationship Book. I wanted to do one for every holiday, but I haven't done that. And I think the more important thing, rather than it's on Valentine, the more important thing is that it's 3 outrageous secrets you simply must know, and they're very simple. How much time do we have?
Just 5 minutes. So.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. One is, men are different from women. which, of course, sounds ridiculously simple. But you'd be surprised how many women want men to do what they're comfortable with. But, duh, they're men. And it's not comfortable for them. Number two, when you're courting and somebody treats you really special, I would be very cautious. I do not want a man that treats me special and, oh, he gives me all these flowers and all this other, because that man will stop treating you special after one of two things, after he gets you in bed or after he marries you. But if you find someone who treats everyone special, who is nice to everyone in his life, and pay attention to how he treats the other women in his life, his mother, his colleague, his whoever, his sister. If he treats those people nice, then once you're married and the bloom is off the rose and we're just getting up and going to work and taking care of the kids and routine sets in, he'll still be nice to you because that's what he does. I mean, my mother was big on treating you. He has to treat you special.
Wow. Okay, and quickly, your third one.
Okay, wait. I got, yes. I almost forgot. Down with the truth. Everybody says, well, I have to tell you because it's the truth. Well, no, actually, you don't have to tell me. And maybe it isn't the truth. Or maybe it's the truth for you. But the truth turns out to be a movable object sometimes. So that gown that I think is fabulous, you think is hideous. And for each of us, that's the truth. So I think you really need to be cautious about people that in relationships that say, well, you know, I have to tell you, you know, because it's the truth.
Wow. Well, I love these three outrageous secrets, and I love the Valentine relationship book, and I thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your time, your expertise, your talent, your wisdom, your gifts, your magic, and the relationship miracle worker, Fine Merle Singer, what a generous offer for her to be able to talk to you, give you a mini coaching session, and I know at the time that you're finished with the call, you're going to be happy because just listening to her and talking to her just brings joy. And so thank you so much, and I look forward to having you with us again. And it was just such a pleasure having you on here today.
Thank you, Nicole. It was fun for me as well.
Well, thank you, and have a wonderful day. Merle Singer, the Relationship Miracle Worker. Just fantastic. I love this kind of information. And I love the fact that she's just so joyful herself and so much fun herself and can share that with people and help people become happy within themselves and within their own lives, therefore transforming their relationships. So absolutely, incredibly brilliant. So thank you for being with us today. I wish you all an amazing week. This is Nicole Brandon with Hourglass Bride, wishing that you're happily ever after and all your fairy tale wishes and dreams. True.